We've been making a big noise about this sequence in James chapter 4. If you want to open to James, there's a 10-step sequence. And the foundation before the 10 steps has to do with, we preached two sermons. We preached a sermon 2 weeks ago about the greater grace of God. God's operation of His greater grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. That is foundational to the 10 steps. That's the foundation. When Lucifer became Satan, it was all about pride. And if we're going to overcome and resist the devil, we can't be like the devil with prideful character. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 14, I think there's five I wills when Lucifer fell. There's the self-will. There's the iniquity right there. I will, I will, I will, I will. But basically what he says when Lucifer became Satan, he says, I will be like the Most High. He did not want to be under the authority of God. He wanted to have equal authority with God. He said the same thing when sin came into the world, when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit. He said, God knows, when the devil was beguiling Eve and speaking to Adam and Eve, he said, God knows that when you eat of this, this forbidden fruit, you will be like God. You don't have to be under God and trust God to know what good and evil is. You can be equal with God. That's the devil's program. And I tried to emphasize the authority structure and how important the authority structures are that God has ordained. So I won't review that again, but this is foundational to be under authority, to be under God's authority. Do not try to do battle with the powers of darkness if you're not under God's authority. Now, that's foundational. And we're not going to be able to resist the devil if we have pride. Pride is what brought his downfall, and pride is what brought sin into the world. So that's where you start. You can't have the operation of the dynamic power of God's grace that's greater than all our sin functioning if there's issues of pride. And really, in your prayer life, if you really do serious business with God in prayer, it will force you to address the pride issues. It forces you to, if you're really going to be able to pray through to God. There should be a great deal of confession of sin in our prayer life, which would indicate we're not justifying or rationalizing or covering up things in our own pride. It tells us in 1 John chapter 1, if a believer says he has no sin, there's no confession of sin going on in our prayer life. If a believer says they have no sin, what does it say? You don't have to worry about the devil deceiving you. You don't have to worry about the devil deceiving you. You are deceiving yourself. And if you're deceiving yourself, you're certainly going to give ground to the powers of darkness. Confession of sin in prayer is critical to humility and the operation of God's grace. It should be a normal part of our prayer life. Confession of sin. Acknowledging to God. Listen, the blood of Jesus Christ in that same chapter has to keep on what? Keep on cleansing us. Every day, as the blood of Jesus Christ has to keep on cleansing us from all our sin. So that's the foundation. Last week, we preached on submission to God, and that's the first of the 10 steps. And I would like to say again that the sequence, in terms of how I'm presenting it today, is the sequence of how to get resolution to spiritual conflicts. Spiritual conflicts. You never get to the resolution of a conflict until you see the spiritual nature of it. I wanted to read a section of scripture to you on that. First Corinthians chapter 2, the whole chapter is about God's wisdom. And here's what he says in that chapter. What man knows the things of a man save the Spirit? Notice the Spirit. To get resolution, you have to understand the spiritual conflicts and God's spiritual answers to the spiritual conflicts. What man knows the things of a man save the Spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, not just intellect, not just a man's personality, not just a man's charisma. It's got to be the Holy Spirit speaking. It's got to be the Holy Spirit interpreting, Holy Spirit giving understanding. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is God's wisdom from above. Remember James chapter 3, he talked about most people are operating with the earthly wisdom, right? And it's earthly, it's sensual, and what did he say about it? It's demonical. So if we don't get out of the earthly wisdom operation into the spiritual discernment operation, we're not going to be able to resist the powers of darkness in this world. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know the things that are coming from God, because the things coming from God are spiritually what? Remember that? Spiritually discerned. So it's critical for every believer to have spiritual discernment. This is not the preacher. This is not just spiritual leaders of the church. It's critical for every believer to have spiritual discernment and to get resolution of spiritual conflicts through understanding God's Spirit supernaturally working so that the life of Christ can be made manifest through the conflict. Now, the package, I call this the package of the ten. Just for sake of illustration, let's say you was going to bake a cake, which I don't dare do. Let's say you're going to bake a cake and there's 10 ingredients and 10 steps. And you take the first two steps and you take step number 10. But you leave out all the steps in between. I don't think too many people are going to want to eat your cake. It will not be a good cake. It will not turn out properly because every part of that recipe is essential to producing a cake that's going to be likable. In the same manner, it tells us as far as the armor of God, it's very plain as far as the armor of God. He doesn't say put on one piece, two pieces, three pieces, four pieces. He doesn't tell us put on just a certain amount of pieces. What does he say? Put on the whole armor of God. When it comes to these 10 steps, it's the same. Make sure you encompass all the steps. It's not enough to just look at a few of them. We got to make sure we are encompassing all the steps here. Put on the whole armor of God. I would say it's the same thing with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes and these 10 steps are very similar. If you go to the Sermon on the Mount, you don't want to just look at one Beatitude. You want to look at all the Beatitudes to get the resolution you need. So it's a package. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. If you have the fruit of the Spirit as far as love, you should also have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith. If you have one, you should have them all. Amen? It's a package. That's how it works. So with that said, I want to talk about, number one, the reality of the devil. Not everybody believes there is a devil. But from start to finish in the Scriptures, beginning with Genesis, all the way to Revelation, when the devil will have his final judgment upon him, it tells us in Revelation he will be cast into the lake of fire. But beginning with Genesis to Revelation, the devil is a reality in all humanity of history, in all of biblical history. The devil is a reality. So we need to get that settled from the start, and the only way to get that settled is your mind has to come under the scriptural authority of the Bible. You're not going to ever have spiritual discernment unless you believe the Bible is the Word of God. Amen? You don't get spiritual discernment any other place than the Scriptures. Spiritual discernment, if it's truly spiritual discernment, there's going to be some Scripture coming to you related to that spiritual discernment. If you're getting truth from God, Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but how shall man live? By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So you've got to make the conscious, deliberate decision that you do believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And then from there, you'll get the discernment you need. Assuming you've been born again and you have the Holy Spirit within you, you'll get the discernment you need to understand the realities of the devil. Not only the realities of his existence, but the realities of his operation. And listen, you don't have to look far to see that something is going on and the powers of darkness is behind it. You don't have to look far. Everywhere you look. As a matter of fact, some of us may be thinking, you know, I don't think I've had much to do with the devil. Well, you're in big time trouble. You're in big time trouble. For one thing, in Ephesians 2, it says, where is the devil? Now, I'm talking about the devil and his cohorts. The principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual wickedness, the demonic spirits, the unclean spirits, the demons, call it whatever you want to call it. If we understand correctly, when Lucifer fell as an angel, one third of the created angels fell with him, ever how many that is. So the devil's got an army, and his army, I believe there's an authority structure among the the powers of darkness in the heavenly places. That's the reason, that's why God said we wrestle against these principalities and these powers and these rulers of darkness. Every believer. In Ephesians, it says the devil is the prince. Let me just ask a question. Everywhere you go, is there air there? Everywhere you go, is there air there? Well, the devil is the prince of the power of what? The air. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. He's never too far away. Now, you know, if you think it's just myth and legend and you don't put yourself under the authority of the Word of God and believe the Word of God, you can't even be saved without believing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So it's got to start with the Word of God and being under the authority of the Scriptures. So, there is a collective battle we have, a corporate battle we have. It talks about in 2 Corinthians, the weapons of our warfare collectively are not carnal, but mighty through God. There is a collective battle that we together as a church family have against the powers of darkness. That is definitely a scriptural reality. But wrestle is not, there are some sports that are a team sport. And you got all the players on the team. And then, you know, when each person does their part as far as their position on the team, you know, you win the game because of that. But wrestling is more a one-on-one. And don't think that you can opt out of the program of wrestling. You can't. As a believer, you've got to get with God and His Word and understand how to put on the whole armor of God. And most of my sermon today will be about the devices, the strategy of the powers of darkness. It doesn't matter whether it's the devil directly coming against us or his followers and his those under him. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. We're wrestling against these powers of darkness. Now, his personality, the reality of the devil and personality of the devil, the only reason he shows up to in any way work, the only reason he's present to work, based on what the Lord said was, he said he's, the thief comes for only three reasons. If the devil is operating, this is his personality. This is what characterizes him. Whatever he's up to stealing, he's up to killing, and he's up to destroying. So there's nothing good there. And we don't want to minimize the intensity of what he's up to. In 1 Peter, and we covered this in one of our sermons already, it said the devil is like a roaring lion, and he seeks whom, this is believers, he seeks whom he may. It's a very strong word. What is he up to? He wants to devour. He wants to devour marriages. He wants to devour families. He wants to devour individuals. That's what characterizes his whole operation. Now, the constancy of his operation, reality, personality, the constancy. When the Lord Jesus was tempted directly by the devil in the wilderness, one gospel, I think it's Matthew, it tells us that when the temptation was over, is when the devil left, it says the angels of God ministered to the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity. That's a good thought of it's a reality truth that we need to keep in mind in this spiritual battle. There are some good angels that God has. Amen. And God's ministry of angels to us as believers in this spiritual battle is a very encouraging reality to keep in mind, constantly keep in mind. But the other gospel says, when the temptation was over, what does it say? It says, the devil departed. Don't ever think, okay, I'm sure glad that's over and done with. No, it says, the devil departed. What did it say? For a season. For a season. The reality, the personality, the constancy. Spiritual conflicts and resolving spiritual conflicts is a lifetime proposition. You don't get away from it. It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager. It doesn't matter whether you're a child. It doesn't matter whether you're a seasoned veteran of the faith in the latter years of your life. It's a lifetime battle. We need to accept it. We need to embrace it right up until the moment we take our last breath. I mean that sincerely. Because it's very hard when you get older. For all of us. So, I want to talk about his activity some. We've spoke about the reality, personality, constancy. We talked about it. Now I want to talk about his activity. And how do we recognize him? The Lord Jesus, twice before he went to the cross, had to address Peter the Apostle. The first time he addressed Peter the Apostle, when he was explaining the cross to his disciples, his apostles, and Peter spoke his human reasoning perspective of it, and the Lord had to look at Peter, and he had to say to Peter, "Get thee behind me." What did he have to say? We're talking about Peter the Apostle. Get thee behind me, Satan. Just a little bit later, right before the Lord's going to be crucified, he says to Peter, Satan has desired to have you. That's an incredible statement from God, from the Lord Jesus. Satan has desired to have you, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. And when you are converted, he didn't mean born again conversion. He meant there's coming a time in Peter's life where he's going to understand the spiritual dynamics of the spiritual warfare and the reality of the powers of darkness that he didn't have a grip on yet. And so here in the book of Acts, you got Ananias and Sapphira. And they, sold the property and lied about what they, the sale of it. And Peter is there. And Peter's learned a few things. He's got more spiritual discernment. He's been taught. And by the way, the Lord said, when you are converted, strengthen what? Anybody that's gone through spiritual warfare and has seen the Lord work in miraculous, supernatural ways is going to be able to help others. Amen? Strengthen your brethren. One reason why God takes us through things is because other people need help that we can give. If we haven't been through it ourselves, you know, it's hard to say, you know, I can sympathize with you if you haven't been through something similar. Now, the Lord Jesus can sympathize perfectly in every aspect, but it's hard for us to say we can. I mean, I think God allows things not only for the work he's doing inside of us, but he allows things for the work he wants to do through us. So he said to Ananias, he didn't say, Ananias, why in your human reasoning did you do such a thing? You remember what he said to Ananias? He said, "Why?" He says, Satan has filled your heart to lie. Now, if I'm remembering correctly, did it say against the Holy Spirit? This is a believer that has lied. Now, you know, the Lord made it crystal clear as far as the characterization of what the devil is all about. He is the father of lies. So when lying's going on, you can be sure something of the devil's going on. And so Peter's got discernment now to address the issue with Ananias in the same way that the Lord Jesus had discernment with him. Peter's learned a few things. Now, we all need to make progress that way. Amen? We need spiritual discernment about spiritual conflicts and God's resolution to it. Now, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of Satan's devices, his strategies, his manner of operation. As believers, we should be aware and knowledgeable of his methods and how he does things. And again, that's why it's so important to get into the scriptures and stay in the scriptures, because there's plenty of illustrations in there about this. I was into 1 Samuel 17 last night and yesterday morning, and when David went up against Goliath. And the Lord was opening up to me a lot of understanding about spiritual conflicts just through that chapter. I don't know that it even mentions the devil in that chapter. But when you know, when you start understanding the dynamics of what the battle really is all about, there's a lot in that chapter, which I'm going to make some points to it in a minute. So I'm saying it's all through the Bible. It's all through the Bible. Getting understanding about spiritual conflicts. If you don't see it as a spiritual conflict, you're going to try to resolve it with carnal weapons, and you'll not get the resolution. So the first strategy or device that I would like to mention today, I'm certainly not going to cover all of the devices, but I want to just cover some of them. And this one has to do with complication. Complication. The devil is all about complication. He wants us to think it's so complicated, there's no fix for it. There's no answer for it. So, this past Thursday, I knew exactly what the Lord wanted me to speak on. That doesn't happen every time the luncheon comes around. I take time and I pray and I reflect, but in a moment's notice, I felt like the Lord just said, this is it. And it had to do with the claims of Christ. The claims of Christ. And it had to do with one question. All of us have lots of questions about life, and there are ultimate questions that we've got to find answer to. There's lots of questions, but there's ultimate questions we've got to find the answer to. But there's one question that answers the question to all the questions of life. And this is what the Lord brought to my mind, and this is what I shared Thursday. The Lord Jesus said, this is the most important question to get spiritual resolution to spiritual conflicts and to find in your journey in life the abundant life that Jesus promised. When he said the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy, in the same verse he said, I am come to do what? That you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. So to get life abundant and to enter into the abundant life, to get the resolution to the conflicts, we've got to have understanding of this complication issue. Because the devil makes it complicated. He makes you think, oh, you can't figure this out. Either that or you say, just go talk to the pastor about it. He'll get it straight for you. And I guarantee you, it's going to be the Holy Spirit that gets it straight, if anybody gets it straight. And God's going to do it directly. He's going to do it directly. As a matter of fact, if it doesn't come directly, it's not going to stay with you very long. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. It's one-on-one with God, and it's a one-on-one battle with the powers of darkness. And we've got to have a close relationship with our Lord Jesus Himself, personally. Amen? Now, years ago, just to illustrate the point, when I was in New Jersey, this is back in the day when computers were first coming in, and I was doing quite a bit of writing in those days, and the computer was very important, and I was having this, anybody ever have problems with computers? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I was having a major technology problem with a computer. It went on for weeks, and I was praying about it because it was, the booklets I was writing was presenting spiritual truth, and we were sending them into the prisons. And, you know, there was a spiritual reason why I wanted to get the computer fixed. One day, I had to call a guy to purchase some bulletins. We were printing pre-made bulletins in those days with beautiful pictures on them. And so I called to order some bulletins. And I don't even know how we got on the conversation about the computer, but we got on. And the guy that was selling those bulletins said, well, whenever I have that problem, I just do this. I said, well, I haven't done that yet. And I did what he told me to do, and it, bingo. Resolved the problem immediately. What was so complicated was simple. Now, with God, God is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. God's got wisdom and understanding and power and authority perfectly about every situation. Amen? And by the way, of all the sayings that I've heard Mr. Carroll has said from different ones over the years, my favorite that means the most to me that I've heard is the one when he spoke about life reduced to fellowship with Jesus Christ makes the complicated simple. That right there is exactly the point I'm making right now. Life is all about fellowship with the Lord Himself. And as long as you keep your focus on Him, you will have simplicity. And matter of fact, the Lord said, He said, if you don't become like a child, we're talking about ABCs. ABCs. There's nothing, you don't have to be a high IQ person. We're talking about a child in kindergarten or pre-kindergarten or the child just learning his ABCs. The Lord said, if you do not become like a child, childlike in your dependency upon me, you will never understand the things of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the Lord also says, seek ye first what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So if we want to understand the power of His kingdom, we've got to have a childlike dependency on it. And a childlike dependency is ABC. ABC. God. Matter of fact, one of the prophets told that to God. It was either Jeremiah or Moses. One of those guys back there in the Old Testament said, Lord, I'm like a child. That's a good place to be. It's a good place to be because God's going to have to give it to you. Amen? He's going to have to give it to you. And God's going to have to do the work. And then God's going to get all the glory for it. Now, let's go back to the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said to Corinthian church, he says, I fear lest, he's talking to the believers in the church, I fear lest as the serpent, going all the way back to when sin first started, as the serpent beguiled Eve, so you as present day believers, your minds would be corrupted from what? Do you remember what he said? The simplicity that's in Jesus Christ. He connected the devil with it's so complicated, and he connected the Lord Jesus Christ with simplicity. It's ABC. Listen, the devil wants us to think we can't get it because of whatever reason. We're not smart enough, or, you know, we haven't had enough training, or whatever. But you can get it if you're meek and humble and lowly before God and do what James says. James chapter 1, if any man lack wisdom, what does it say? Ask of God. And who does he give to? He gives all men that ask in sincerely, ask in faith. And you'll get the answers you need from God. Now, second point I want to speak to as to his strategy is accusation. And I think we need to be so in touch with God about this. Accusation. Sometimes accusation, and I'm talking about prideful accusations. Again, pride is the foundation of the problem. Prideful accusations. If we see something that's going on that's not right in somebody else's life, especially a believer, God tells us in Galatians, he says, if you're spiritual and you see something going on in somebody else's life, you who are spiritual, what should your attitude and your disposition be? Restoration, not accusation. Restore such a one in what kind of a spirit? A spirit of meekness, which I emphasize all the time. A spirit of meekness. And if you don't approach it that way, you're setting yourself up for your own fall. He said, make sure you do it in a spirit of meekness, lest you bring problems into your own life that are maybe even worse than what you're talking about with the accusation. Let me give you an example of how this works. And this goes back to the 1 Samuel 17. When David got to the battlefield, his brother raked him over the coals. He railed upon him big time. Now, the reason why David went to the battlefield is because he's doing a menial task for his father. His father told him to take some bread and cheese to the men on the battlefield. But his brother railed on him. I mean, he railed on him. He let him have it with both barrels. He said, I know the naughtiness. I know the naughtiness of your heart and your pride. Now, that wasn't a prideful accusation, which was advertising. What was it advertising? It was advertising what he himself was guilty of. And that's why I think we need to carefully consider this. We don't recognize that we're actually advertising what we're all about, not necessarily what somebody else is all about. And this is where spiritual discernment, you know, is so important. First of all, to get it right inside, and then to get it right in helping others, and also to know how to understand how when the devil's bringing it against you, how to respond to it. But accusation is part of his program. It's part of his operation. It's part of his strategy. And Revelation chapter 12 says the devil is like a dragon. It's amazing. In one place he's a roaring lion, you know. Now in Revelation he's a dragon. And it says, night and day. Night and day. What's he doing? He is the accuser of the brethren. Please, let's leave that with the devil. Let's not do it ourselves. Amen? Let's leave it with the devil. Let's not join with him on that. Because if we do, what I said in Galatians 6 is going to take place. It's going to be self-destructive if we have prideful accusations. We've got to be... This is very... Spiritual discernment and spiritual weapons and spiritual operation, it takes a lot of... We've got to stay close with God. We've got to keep coming to God in prayer. We've got to keep praying, God, search me. Amen? Search me and see if there be what? In any wicked way in me. I can't help somebody else if I don't let you help me. And help me see my attitude, my disposition, my pride, my self-righteousness, my holier-than-thou spirit, so forth and so on. Now, I want to speak about not only his strategy of complication, his strategy of accusation, and along with accusation is condemnation. Now, Romans chapter 8 tells us very clearly, as believers in Christ, dressed in the righteousness of Christ. As a matter of fact, I think some people are in spiritual bondage because they are accepting the lies of the devil that they're good for nothing and they will never amount to anything. They'll never be able to measure up and get beat over the head and beat over the head and beat over the head. And if you believe the devil's lies, you'll stay in bondage. The truth will set you free. And the truth is that when a person is in Jesus Christ and dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are accepted before God in the Beloved. Our righteousness is perfect before God in Christ. We are declared righteous before God. We're justified. Therefore, being justified with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if God be for you, and he's dressed you in the righteousness of his Son, who can be against you? Do not let the devil beat you over the head and believe the lies of his accusation and his condemnation. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I'm telling you, the fear of what people think of you and the lies you're believing about what the devil says, between the two, it will take you down. Take you down. Take you down. Now let's move on to his carnal operation. Got his the complication, the accusation, and his carnal operation. You cannot fight spiritual battles with carnal weapons. And 2 Corinthians 10 clearly says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but our weapons are mighty through God. Now, let's go to 1 Samuel again and David. The first thing in that chapter, it goes into a great description about Goliath. And it goes into a great description, several verses of description about Goliath's armor. I mean, it just keeps painting the description of who he is in his armor and how big he is and what kind of armor he's got. And it's like, how could anybody ever go up against him with such stature and such armor? That's how the chapter starts. It's interesting that when David said, nobody else is willing to go up against Goliath, David said, and I'm going to get to why he said what he said, but he said, I'm willing to go. And the first thing that the king wanted him to do, he said, look, if you're going up against him, put my armor on. Remember that? He said, you can't go into battle with this Goliath Philistine. You got to have some armor on. So David put it on. He tried his best to accommodate the situation. And when he got it on, he says, there's no way whatsoever this will ever work. And he began to share the testimony of the power of his personal relationship and fellowship with God. He said, my brother said I was out there caring for... he didn't say this. I'm just saying this is the way it is. He said, my brother accused me of caring for those few sheep. But while I was out there taking care of the menial responsibilities that I had been assigned, I proved the power of God in my life. I tell you, if whatever task you got going, I don't care whether it's taking the garbage out, sweeping the floor, I don't care what it is. You can prove the power of God in your life, in the menial task. You can prove the power of God in the simple, ordinary, everyday things of life. If you have spiritual discernment, that's what this whole sermon's about. And so he talked about the lion and the bear. He talked about how God gave him wisdom and discernment in how to deal with the lion and the bear. God showed his power of protecting those sheep. And so he took the armor off. And, you know, now when you start using spiritual weapons, people are going to think you're foolish. They're going to think you're ridiculous. They're going to think, I sure hope that works out for you. I'm as serious as I can be. They're going to say, that may be good for you, but it's not for me. But if you will obey God, God will show his power. He'll show his power. So David reached down into the brook. And what did he take out of the brook? A few stones. And, you know, he got his slingshot out. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing you could ever think of. A young lad going up against this Goliath with a slingshot and a few stones. That's why God says he takes the foolishest of man to show his glory and show his power. Now, the weapons have got to be the spiritual weapons that God gives us with wisdom from above. The wisdom from above, God will not only... Hudson Taylor used to say, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. So God not only ordains the provision of it, he ordains the way of it. How to get there. And it's all by faith. It's all by faith. We're not talking about manipulating and politicking and you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours and conniving and, you know, how it all works in life when you don't have the wisdom from above. We're talking about faith, trust of God to supernaturally work. So, here's the most important thing about the spiritual battle. And I pray this all the time. David said when he went up against Goliath, he said, you come to me with a sword and a shield. He says, I come to you. He didn't say, I come to you with a slingshot and a stone. What did he say? He said, what's at stake here? What's at stake here? And what the real battle is not just these soldiers over here and these soldiers over here. You are not just defying these soldiers over here. You are defying the true and the living God. And he said, I come to you in the name. I come to you in the name of my God. And first thing the Lord tells us to pray and get it right, getting it right with him in prayer, to understand the spiritual battle and how to get the spiritual discernment we need for the spiritual battles. Our Father who art in heaven. What's the first number one priority concern? Hallowed be thy name. That's the place to start with spiritual warfare. The name of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Strong tower. What do the righteous do when they go? They run to the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are safe. They're protected. They're shielded. God's the armor. God himself is the armor. I listened to, I'm going to have to finish up here, but I listened to the Romanian pastor, Joseph Tan. I had a chance to hear him personally up there in Philadelphia. And he was arrested in Romania and imprisoned. And you talk about the accusations and the roar of the devil. And by the way, one of his strategies is fear. That's one of the devil's strategies. If he can get you fearful, he knows he can entrap you. Because why does he roar? Why doesn't he just go ahead and attack? Why does he roar? Because he wants you to be afraid. And if he can get you afraid or get me afraid, he's got ground to work then. But if there's no fear, there's no fear. Listen, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of God's wisdom. So when you have the fear of the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of the powers of darkness. Greater is Christ who lives in us than all the powers of darkness in the world. But fear, I'm telling you, we need to bring it to God. It's like anger. It's one of those temptations that is common to man. We all have battles with fear. I'm preaching to myself. But we run to the name of the fortress of our God. And when I was listening to Joseph Tan, he said they was intimidating him, accusing him, condemning him, raking him over the coals. And finally they said, well, you know, we're going to have to just kill you because you won't deny Christ. And Joseph Tan said, you are forcing me to use my secret weapon. There's no fear. There's no fear. He said, you're forcing me to use my secret weapon. Everything I've stood for, everything I've preached, everything I've communicated to all these followers that you're so concerned about, that I've got such a following. He says, if you put me to death, they're going to know I was willing to die for it. I was willing to die for it. And then they started saying, well, we know you want us to kill you, but we're not going to. So he changed their whole tune. Changed their whole tune. Because he didn't have any fear. It's like the devil is all bark, but he's no bite. We got to see him for who he is. Listen, there's no power struggle going on. Things are not in the balance, waiting to see if we win the battle. Who's going to win? Nothing's hanging in the balance. Our Lord Jesus Christ has won the battle. He is the victor. If we're thinking, I'm in a battle and I don't know if I can win or not, we're trying to do something in the flesh. But it's faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes. Faith in the finished work of Christ. Faith in the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father who has all authority in heaven and on earth. Faith in the name. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Faith in Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. He rules and he overrules in all the affairs of men. Nothing's hanging in the balance. What's hanging in the balance is, do I really believe what God has said? That's why you'll see in the New Testament over and over again, know ye not, know ye not, know ye not, know ye not. How many times do you see that in the New Testament? Don't you remember the truth? Don't you know what Christ has accomplished? Know ye not? Romans 6, it says, knowing this, and then it says, based on what you know, reckon it to be true in your life. Not just in somebody's life somewhere. Reckon it to be true in your life. Amen? That's what I mean. A lot of times I'll use the term cooperating with God, appropriating the grace of God, appropriating the supernatural workings of God. We are not straining and struggling and trying to somehow get the victory. We are cooperating with the victory that our God has won in His Son, Jesus Christ. We're on the offensive. And when we put the armor on, it doesn't say put the armor on to fight. Is everybody with me? If we think we've got to do something to win this battle, and we don't recognize the battle, the victory's already been won. We need, how many times in Ephesians 6 does it say, put the armor on, stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and so forth and so on. We're standing in the finished work. That's why the Lord says, do this communion. Do this in remembrance of what I've accomplished. Do this remembering the great victory that was wrought in all humanity, that anybody that will believe can be discharged from the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's Son. And so if the sergeant comes over and starts yelling commands and yelling commands, and you've been discharged and you're not a military person in that kingdom anymore, you don't have to jump when the sergeant says jump. You're not under that domain anymore. Amen. You're not in that domain anymore. You're out of it. You're under the authority of the kingdom of the King of all kings that's won the victory for every person that will believe it. Amen and amen. So you got his complication strategy, his accusation strategy, his fear strategy, his carnal method strategy, and I think I'm going to have to stop there. All right, let's pray. Our Father, every word I'm preaching to myself. Every single word. We dare not trust the sweetest frame of anything in ourselves, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Jesus Christ, the solid rock we stand, any other ground we try to stand on will be sinking sand. And we are no match for the powers of darkness. The only hope we have is to believe by faith. Your word talks about fight the good fight of faith. That's where the battle is. Not fighting the devil himself, but believing that you've already won the victory. Fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. Lord, may every believer be able to say that. May we not live by sight and try to fight our problems with carnal types of efforts. Lord, may we see the spiritual dynamics of the warfare, and may we be able to stand in the authority of your Son's resurrected, ascended, glorified life. And I pray you give a spiritual sermon, because it's not going to happen just because we intellectually assessed something. We need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to it. And we ask you for the supernatural workings of the Holy Spirit in the trenches of our life where we live, to see the dynamic power of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.